Blog Talk Radio.
Transitioning in now. Make sure you have a mic on. Shalom, shalom. Giving all honor, all glory, and all praises to the Holy One of Israel, whose name alone is Yahweh. It is a great honor to be able to give praises to the Most High in the little sanctuary that He has set for His people. I'm your host for this evening, Moray Obadiah Israel of the House of Israel, located in 1907 Vine Street. And we're giving all honor all glory, and all praises to the Holy One of Israel, whose name alone is Yahweh. Now, who is Yah? Well, Yahweh is the creator of the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that in them is. Yahweh is the Savior and the Redeemer of not just Israel, but of the entire world. Yahweh is our lawgiver. Yahweh is our judge. And Yahweh is our king. And he alone will save us. So we give all praises and honor and glory to Almighty Yahweh, the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I just want to say shalom to all of our people that are listed via the internet, whether it be Facebook, Blog Talk, or YouTube. You know that the only reason why you're tuned in is because of your fear and your love towards the Creator, Yahweh, our Elohim. And what we will be discussing this evening is intercession for transgressors. I love the subject and how it was dealt with by Morey Ishaya and Morey Isha. We take it to people's question because Yahweh said that his book is like nothing. He says to seek out of the book of Yahweh and read, for none of them shall fail and none of them shall want their mate. So the fact that any question can be asked about the Most High and he has the answer revealed within his book. And if it's meant for us to know as a nation, then Yahweh will surely have it revealed. And it's beautiful to see those words being affirmed in times past, even up to this very day. So it was a great enjoyment to see that. And I will deal with you all's questions in a future lesson because they're very poignant and they're sharpening because iron sharpens iron. But what we will be discussing this evening is making intercession for transgressors. Because a lot of our people are under the erroneous impression that the Most High has sent someone to die for their sins. And that's how they stand as a mediator for transgressors. Or that the Most High has left the hand world over into the hands of the wicked, and the wicked will one day humble themselves and start treating Yahweh's people right. Well, whatever doctrine that you're following, whatever ideology that you're following, I'm here to say that it's truly an incorrect doctrine. See, a lot of our people will read the book of Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, and they will correlate that with someone dying for our sins. They will correlate that with a man dying for your sins. But if you truly read with wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, the way and knew the ways of the Most High, you know that that would be far from the Most High. The Most High would never slay the innocent for the sake of the wicked. The Most High will never slay the righteous for the sake of the wicked. That's far from the Most High. Our father Abraham knew that. And one of our forefathers, Moses, they ended up finding it out. And we will go through this. And we will break down what is the controversy that Yahweh has with his people. Before we get into it, let's go to the very scripture that has our people so caught up, that has our people in so much confusion and darkness. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. And for the sake of time, we're not going to read the entire chapter. We're going to get right to the meat of the matter. And I'm going to start, and I'm going to just read the last three verses. In Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, and the 10th verse. Well, I'm going to start at the 9th verse. It says that he has made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich man in his death, because he has done no violence. Neither was any deceit in his mouth, which automatically knocks the Christ of the New Testament out of the box, because there was deceit in his mouth. Any man that tells you that you have to hate your father, hate your mother, hate your wife, hate your sons, hate your daughters, even your own self to be his disciple, that's nothing but deceit in his mouth, because that's not the ways of Yahweh. But let's continue reading. It said, but yet it pleased Yah to bruise him. He put him to grief. Whom thou shalt make his soul an offering, but he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of Yahweh shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the other travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. And by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. And therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death. For he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for transgressors. Now, who is this speaking of? People will say, man, you can't see that. It's bright as day. That's speaking about Yahushua, or Yahweh Shia, or JC. When absolutely, that's not speaking of a man at home. That's speaking of the remnant of Yahweh's people. And why would I say that? Why do we say this? Why do we know for without a shadow of a doubt that it's not speaking about a man dying for the sins and transgressions of the world or for the people or the children of Israel? Why do you say that with so much confidence? How can you say that? It's obvious by the description, Obadiah, that that's speaking of a man dying for the sin. Well, let's see if that's in the law. Let's see if that's the testimony. Turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy, the 24th chapter. And in the book of Deuteronomy, the 24th chapter, I'm going to read the 16th verse. And it reads, the fathers shall not be put to death for the children, neither shall the children be put to death for the fathers. But every man shall be put to death for his own sin. Now that's the law. That's the law spoken out of the word of the true living Elohim. But it says, let every matter be established by two or more witnesses. So we see this as a law. Well, let's also see this as a testimony. Turn with me to the book of Ezekiel, the 18th chapter. In Ezekiel, the 18th chapter, I'm going to start reading at the 18th verse. Ezekiel 18 and 18 reads, and for his father, because he is cruelly oppressed, and he has spoiled his brother by violence, and did that which is not good amongst his people, lo, even he shall die in his iniquity. But yet say you, why? Does the son bear the iniquity of the father? When the son has done that which is lawful and right, and have kept all my statutes, and have done them, he shall surely live. And in verse 20, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the fathers, neither shall the fathers bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. So now the matter is established. Yahweh not taking no funky body for a sacrifice for the sins of the world, nor for the sins of his people. So in the book of Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, when it's speaking of making intercession for transgressors, you can automatically cast out, that's not speaking of a man dying for the sins of Israel or dying for the sins of the world. When it says making intercession for transgressors, Yahweh is looking for something specific. Yahweh is seeking something specific. And Yahweh was finding what he was seeking. And what was Yahweh seeking? What was the true and living creator of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? What was he seeking? Was he looking for a man to sacrifice himself? Was he looking for a man to die? Was he looking for a man to be slaughtered? Was he looking for a man to raise up and say, here, take this bread, this is my flesh, and drink this wine. This is my blood. This what the Most High pleasing and looking for? Well, let's see what Yahweh was looking for. If you turn with me to the book of Ezekiel, the 22nd chapter. Because anytime that there's violence, anytime that there's wickedness, anytime there's oppression, this is what the Most High is looking for in his righteous servant. In the book of Ezekiel, the 22nd chapter, I'm going to start reading at the 29th verse. And it reads, the people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yet they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I saw a man amongst them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it, but I found none. This is what Yahweh is looking for. This is the intercessor for the transgressors. This is what the Creator is looking for. Yahweh said, now who gonna stand in the gap that I don't have to destroy the land and all the people? Who's going to make this intercession? Who's going to look at this wickedness and say, it's enough? We have offended the Most High enough. We have transgressed against Yahweh enough. Now it's time to stand in the gap. Now it's time to sacrifice ourselves. Sacrifice sleep. Sacrifice family time. Sacrifice all the pleasures that you want to make sure that you study in Yahweh's word. That you meditating on Yahweh's word day and night, and that you constantly meditating on the words of Yahweh, so that you can stand in the gap, because you know as many of your people that's not. It's many of your people that's not considering. It's many of your people that's doing wickedly, and they think that everything is just A-okay with being wicked. Well, who's going to stand in the gap? And Yahweh said he was looking for this. He saw a man that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me in the land that I should not destroy it. And Yahweh said that he found me. And this is the condition that most of our people are in today. You're looking for someone to stand in the gap and plead petition for you. And instead, you got a bunch of people telling you not to keep the laws of the Most High, not to serve the Most High, not to make yourself holier to the Most High, not to keep the laws that Yahweh has laid before. Not to keep the holy day that Yahweh has laid before us, that he said that we can keep in captivity. Not to make yourself holy, none whatsoever. And little do our people know, or little do our people realize, that there's ways that you can make intercession for transgressors even to this very day. But most of our people are not considering these ways. Because when we've been raised up by these heathens, they've made us selfish. So now we all in it for self. And if it don't benefit me, then why should I care what happens to you? Why should I testify to the people? Well, all they're going to do is murder against me. All they're going to do is tailbear against me. All they're going to do is just talk about my imperfections. So why should I stand in the gap? They're not doing anything for me. Well, Yahweh looking for a special spirit. And this type of spirit is going to be found in the remnant of the people. The type of spirit that he's looking for is a faithful spirit. Turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy, the 4th chapter. Because you know what a faithful man is going to do? A faithful man will never tell you not to keep the laws of Yahweh. A faithful man will never tell you to not keep the commandments of Yahweh. A faithful man will never tell you that you were in captivity, so when in Rome, act as the Romans. A faithful man, a faithful servant of Yahweh, will never instruct you in the way. Why? Because he knows that these laws, statutes, judgments, and testimonies are for a witness to the nations. And the nations will witness of the wisdom, understanding, and knowledge of this law. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 4th chapter, I'm going to begin reading at the 6th verse. And it reads, keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations. Now, what is Yahweh talking about? Is he talking about going to work, working a 9-to-5? How about getting your bachelor's degree, your associate's degree? Is this showing the nation your wisdom and your understanding? No, this is showing your, this is how you are able to incorporate and ingratiate yourself amongst your enemies. But Yahweh said, keep these laws, statutes, and judgments. He says, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nation. We shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who has Elohim so high unto them as Yahweh our Elohim in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgment so righteous in all the law which I set before you this day? So Yahweh has let you know the nations will proclaim the greatness of Yahweh by how he sees his servants keeping his laws, statutes, and judgments. And they'll say, what, oh, what, why nation that has an Elohim so nigh unto them? Who has an Elohim so near unto them? Now, how in the world are you showing that Yahweh is near you by saying that you can't keep the laws, that you can't keep the Sabbath day, that you can't pay tithes, that you can't make offerings, that you can't sanctify Yahweh? How am I showing the nation that you wise? No, all you showing is the nation is that you trick, and your tricks, they work. Because now you have convinced me that Yahweh hasn't consecrated me. Now you have shown me that I'm not set apart. Now you have shown me that I'm not holy. You show me, Babylon, you convinced me. You truly engulfed me in your confusion, and now I'm a walk just as confused as the nation I'm in the midst of. This is not what Yahweh has ordained. And this is not how you make intercession for transgressors, by telling people to get further away from the Most High. You tell them to get nigh unto the Most High. Because not only will you witness to this, but the nations you in the midst of will witness to this. Turn me to the book of Ezekiel, the 14th chapter. Because this is why we can't buy none of this. A man died for our sins. A man died for our transgressions. And you got to accept him, his death, in order to be right with the Most High. Because Yahweh didn't only testify to one man that was righteous man in the earth. He testified to three righteous men in the earth. But let's read to what Yahweh testified to. In the book of Ezekiel, the 14th chapter, and I will begin reading at the 14th verse. Ezekiel 14:14. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, they should deliver with their own souls. And by their righteousness, saith Yahweh, if I cause noisome beasts to pass through the land, and they spoil, so that it be desolate, that no man may pass through because of the beasts. Though these three men were in it, as I live, saith Yahweh Elohim, they should be delivered, sons or daughters, but they only shall be delivered, but the land shall be desolate. Or if I bring upon a sword in the land, and say, sword, go through the land, so that I cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men were in it, as I live, saith Yahweh, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter, but they shall only be delivered themselves. So this is what Yahweh is telling us. Yahweh is telling us, look, if I said the pestilence, if I said sword, if I said famine, no matter what I said through the land, these three men that was in the earth, who I personally identified as righteous men, who I personally identified as wonders, these three men, even though they're in this earth, they can't even save their own sons and daughters. They can only save their own soul. But you better believe that they were going to attempt to make intercession for transgressors. Why were they going to make intercession for transgressors? Because of one reason. Because they service of Yahweh. And a servant of Yahweh, that's exactly what you are. a servant of Yahweh. And you would like for every one of Yahweh's servants to serve Yahweh. But you know that that's not reality. If you've been reading the laws and testimonies of Yah, you know that that's not a reality. But you still stand in the gap because you don't know when Yahweh will wake someone up. When will Yahweh bring someone out of the darkness into the light? So you want to stand as an intercessor. You want to stand as a guard. You want to witness to the works of the Most High. Because maybe a transgressor in that moment will change. But why these three men? Why Noah, Daniel, and Job? Well, let's see the works of these men. Turn me to the book of Genesis, the 6th chapter. In the book of Genesis, 6th chapter, they're going to read about one of Yahweh's righteous servants, and his name was Noah. You're going to see what Yahweh had to say about this man. In the book of Genesis, the 6th chapter, I'm going to start reading at the 8th verse. And it reads, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of Yahweh. And these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with Elohim. And Noah begat 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So Noah was a just man. He walked with his Elohim. And you know what that means? He was one with his Elohim. So you know what that means. Yahweh rested, Job rested. Why did Noah rest? If you ask both of our people, was Noah a righteous man? Most would attest to, yeah, he was righteous. Well, did he keep the Sabbath day? They tell me. Was he keeping the Sabbath day righteous? Well, yes. Well, then he kept the Sabbath day. Did he keep the laws? I can't say. Is keeping the laws righteous? Yes. Well, then he kept the laws. No matter what laws he had knowledge of at that moment, he kept laws. And he walked with his Elohim. How else are you going to walk with the Most High? You think you can walk with the Most High by just being a rep? You go walk with the Most High doing the opposite of what he's commanded? Absolutely not. You have to be upright. You have to be just. And you have to walk with your Elohim if you expect to make intercession for transgressors. Because look at the very next verse. Verse 11. The earth also was corrupt before Elohim. And the earth was filled with violence. So how are you going to be intercession for transgressors if you acted like the people of the world today, with the earth being full of violence, the earth being full of corruption, plenty of people just disregard the laws of the Most High. Plenty of people disrespect the words of the Most High, won't even acknowledge them as the Creator. Now, how are you going to make intercession if you're behaving like them, if you're walking like them? And what was the testimony in Noah? Nope, Yahweh said that the earth was corrupt and full of violence, so he commanded Noah to do one thing that he's commanded his people today. Be holy. You're going to have to separate yourself. How did he command him to be holy? He said, build you an ark. Build you an ark. And when you build you an ark, put your family on it. Because my judgment is going to rain upon earth. Literally rain upon 40 days and 40 nights. And that's exactly what Yahweh did. He seen the corruption, and he's going to destroy the earth. But he told Noah, build the ark. And put your wife, put your family on there. Put your sons on there. Put your wife on there. Put their wives on there. And load up the ark. And you're going to take 7 clean beasts, and you're going to take seven unclean beasts. And how, if Noah wasn't keeping the law, how would he know with the clean beasts from the unclean beasts? It would be absolutely impossible. See, this is why our people don't read. Now you'll ask them, did Noah keep the law? I don't know if he kept the law. Well, how would he know clean beasts from unclean beasts? And what would have happened if he would have not hearkened to the words of Yah? If he said, look, I'm going to be a Christian, and I'm going to eat some of this pork on this boat, then you know what? Him and his family would have got killed. Because that's what happens when you make intercession for transgressors. You sacrifice wickedness. You sacrifice perverseness. You sacrifice evil. Not your body. Not your blood. You sacrifice the transgression. That's how you make intercession for transgressors. By being an example. Now, if people want to follow this light, then they will. But the vast majority won't. But you think Noah was trying to be was right and perfect just for himself? No, he knew he had faith. And he feared Yahweh. Because he knew the wrath of Yahweh. But the vast majority of my people don't. And that's the reason why there is no urgency for us to stand the gap. There is no emergency to make intercession for the transgressors. Because the fear of Yahweh is born. Now that's a conversation. Now that's a debate. Now that's a discussion. Rather than just actions being put out. But this is speaking about Noah. Well, what about Daniel? What did Daniel do when he was brought into captivity? This is one of the biggest controversies that we have in Israel today. Because as soon as you try to proclaim righteousness, most of the jump up and say, you can't do that. You in captivity, man. You can't do that. You in captivity, man. No, you can't do that. You in captivity. So when you in captivity, this is not your dwelling. This is not your land. This don't belong to you. You can't do this. You can't do it, man. Because this is not your cat. This is not your land. You got to wait till you get home to be righteous. You got to wait till you get home to be an intercessor for transgressors. Well, what good would that do the rest of the world? By then, it's too late. And how would you think you're going to make it home acting as the same people you're supposed to be standing in the gap for? It's impossible. But what did Daniel do when he was brought into captivity? Well, let's read. In the book of Daniel, the first chapter, if you turn with me there. In the book of Daniel, the first chapter, I'm going to start reading at the 8th verse. In Daniel, first chapter, in the 8th verse, it reads, now this is when they were brought into captivity, and instantly, Daniel knew we're in a dire situation. So the first thing I got to do is I got to sanctify Yahweh and host himself, and make him my fear, and make him my dread. And the first thing I know that they're going to try to defile me with is what goes into my mouth. So I'm going to sanctify myself unto Yahweh in this very moment. And let's look at what he did. In Daniel, the first chapter, the 8th verse, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the princes of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, Elohim had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my master the king, who has appointed you meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse likeness than the children which are of your sort? And shall ye make me to endanger my head? So he was just worried about that. He said, look, I get what you're saying. You consecrating yourself to your Elohim, but I don't want to bring you before the king. And you all sunk up and shrunk up and you look all malnourished, then the king will take my head off They'll think I'm abusing you. And what did Daniel say? Did Daniel say, well, okay, well, bring on the meat, bring on the wine, I guess, since we're in captivity. We really can't be holy until we get in anyway, so it's all right, whatever he prepared. Give me a big glass of wine. Give me a big plate of chicken. Yeah, get it all, put it all on the plate. What did Daniel purpose? He said, then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuch said, over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He said, prove thy servants, I beseech you, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our confidence be looked upon before you. And the confidence of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And then see, deal with your servants. So he consented to them in this manner and proved them 10 days. And at the end of the day, their confidence appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Now, well, that does that mean that just he was just some bomb vegetables, some bomb fruits, some bomb water? No, because this man purposed in his heart to set himself apart unto Yahweh. Yahweh nourished him. Yahweh gave him his sustenance. Yahweh made their faces full. And their faces were fuller. They were more healthier than all the people that were eating of the king's meat. They had consecrated themselves unto Yahweh. Because they were standing in the gap. Because they know that Yahweh said, prove me. And they were proving Yah. And when they were seen, their confidence was better than anyone that wasn't proving themselves through Yahweh. Now you're going to look at this and say, did they keep the law in captivity? Well, if you would purpose yourself to do this just for what you're eating and what you're drinking, then why would it be a far stretch to say that they weren't rested on the Sabbath day? That they were paying tithes and offerings? Why would you keep just not a part of the law and not all the law? Yahweh said, cursed be the man that not confirms all the words of this law to him. Not some of it. Not half of it. Not 75% of it. And Daniel purposed that he wasn't going to defile himself. And this wasn't the first time that Daniel decided, had purpose that he wasn't going to defile himself. He wasn't going to defile what was going into his mouth, and he wasn't going to defile himself by what was coming out of his mouth either. Turn with me to the book of Daniel, the 6th chapter. And what are we discussing this evening? Discussing, making intercession for transgressors. Who's going to stand in the gap? Who's going to say enough is enough? The wickedness is spread. We get the message. We in the land of the polluted. We in the land of the confusion. But I got to stand in the gap for my people. Who's going to stand up and say this? Well, there are 3 righteous men in this earth. 3 wonders in this earth that did it. And we're reading about the second one, Yahweh's servant, Daniel. In the book of Daniel, the 6th chapter, I'm going to start reading at the 8th verse. And it reads, now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. When, wherefore, King Darius, sign the writings in the decree. Now, this was a decree that for 30 days, nobody could bow down or praise or serve or pray to their prospective Elohim. No one. But they had to bow down and they had to come out with a tinkling ornament and songs to this idol that they done built up. And they only did this for one reason. Because Daniel was keeping the law. And they said, well, man, we can't find nothing against this man. We can't do it. We can't find he's cordial. He's polite. He's an upright fellow. We can't find the only way that we can find him guilty is if he transgressed against his Elohim. and they passed a whole decree. And you don't think that this is happening today? You don't think that laws and statutes are being passed to turn you from serving your Elohim? They absolutely are. But look at what Daniel did. Now with Daniel, in verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. You talk about being bold as a lion. He knew the bill was signed. He said, okay, y'all really trying to press it. You really trying to test to see if I'm strong with my faith. You think that not eating the king's meat or drinking his wine, you think that it stops there? Well, okay, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to wait for you to sign this decree. Now, when the decree was signed, we're going to read. We're going to see if Daniel just said, you know what? Forget it, man. Bring out the idol. We're going to turn up. We're going to turn up on this idol. And then at nighttime, I'm going to apologize to Yahweh. Because it's not my land anyway. We're in captivity. We're in the land of our enemies. So, I'm going to serve this God that the Medes and Persians are set up. Was this the mentality of Daniel? Well, let's see. Says that when Daniel knew the writing, the sign, he went into his house. And his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his Elohim as he did aforetime. Oh my goodness. He did this in captivity, in the land of his enemies, dwelling in the dwellings of his enemies. Pray 3 times a day to his Elohim like he's been doing. In other words, business as usual. I don't care what decree you sign. Yahweh is my Elohim. And he prayed 3 times a day and it didn't change no matter what decree got signed. And look at what happened. These men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplications before his Elohim. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Has thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of Elohim or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the dens of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true according to the laws of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Yehuda, regardeth not you, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. Oh my goodness. Said this man made a petition. They made a petition for 30 days. It's ironic that you'll see that, because a lot of our people say a month don't have a number of days. They talking about 29 days. And you won't see a decree being passed for 29 days? Nowhere in the scriptures. But this decree was for 30 days. Why? Because this is what the month is. And they said for a whole month, nobody prayed to their Elohim. And this man kind of waited until the bill was signed. The petition was signed and went forth and prayed 3 times a day to Yahweh, just like he had done 4 times. And you know what they did? They went and they snitched. Now you talk about snitches. This is what they did. They went and snitched. And they said, then you pass the decree? The king said, yeah, that's what the Medes and the Persians. Said, well, this man prayed to his Elohim. Just like he making petitions to his Elohim. This man standing in the gap. And you know what? Most of the people were scared to witness for Yahweh. For this very reason. Because they scared that the people of the higher-ups captivity will hear that you try to stand in the gap for your Elohim. That you try to make intercession for transgressors. But who you going to make your fear and your dread? Man or Yahweh? But Daniel made Yahweh his fear. Daniel made Yahweh his dread. And you know what? They threw this man in a lion's den. And you know what happened to him? Nothing. Yahweh was with him. Yahweh protected him. And they pulled him out of the lion's den. And the same man was trying to get this man judgment rendered on him. They got through with the lion's den. Them and their family. And the lion tore them to pieces. Why? Because that's the law. So when you raise up and you be a false witness, the same judgment that you try to get put on that man, that same judgment will be put on you. The same way you were trying to get this man ate by the lion for praising his Elohim, now that judgment is on your head. So no, I wouldn't dare try to discourage. We wouldn't dare try to discourage anyone from not keeping the law, statutes, and judgments. We wouldn't dare try to petition and tell anyone you shouldn't follow Yahweh whole or fully. We wouldn't dare tell you that we're in captivity and our hands are tied behind our back. So we got to act like we are in captivity. No, we're going to say we're going to be strong, we're going to be courageous, and we're going to stand in the gap and make intercession for transgressors. Because this is what the cloth of our forefathers, this is where they were cut from. And why, if it's good enough for Noah, if it's good enough for Daniel, then it's good enough for me. But let's read to see what happens. Why Noah, Daniel, and we're going to read about the last one. Job. Let's read and see what was so special about Job. Turn with me to Job, the first chapter. We read about Noah, who cleaved to his Elohim. We read about Daniel, who cleaved to his Elohim. Now we go to read about another patriarch, Job. And our people are so confused that they tried to make a nation, they tried to make Job a nation who the Most High say he despised. And some people say, man, Job was an Edomite. Man, you won't find an Edomite doing this type of righteousness. You won't find an Edomite with this type of attributes connected to it. And if you do find them, you show them to me. You call me up. 513-915-9165 and you show me an Edomite in the scriptures in the laws and statutes and testimonies of Yahweh that had a spirit like this man Job. In the book of Job, the first chapter and the fourth verse. Well, no, I'm going to start at the first verse. It says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, Y-O. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared Elohim, and he eschewed evil. That means he despised evil. That means he was aggrieved when he saw evil. And he says, and there was born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. And his substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she asses and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, everyone his day, and sent to, and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the day of their feasting was gone, about that, Job sent and sanctified them and rose up in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. But Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed Elohim in their heart. Thus did Job continually. This was the type of spirit that this man possessed. Even though his family was feasting, having a good time, celebrating, he was making an offering to the Most High. Because he said, you know what? One of my sons may have cursed the Most High in their hearts. Because this is the type of stock that this man was from. And when all this calamity had happened to Job, because a whole lot of things just started happening in the instance, the man's family that he knew was taken away in an instant. His cattle, his substance was taken away in an instant. And this man still will hang on to his integrity. And look at, let's skip on over to the 20th verse. After all this that happened to this man, all this affliction, look at what Job said. Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. It didn't say he started cursing the Most High. He just started saying, look, I think it's a black cat running around or something. No, he rent his clothes, shaved his head, fell on the floor, and he worshiped. And he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return to heaven. Yahweh gave, and Yahweh has taken away. Blessed be the name of Yahweh. And in all this, Job said, nor charge Elohim foolishness. Now, all this that happened to Job, and he blessed Yahweh. Now, all Yahweh put upon us is a 400-year captivity, and now you got fools saying you can't even keep the laws. You got fools saying it don't matter what the name of Yahweh is. You got fools saying you can't keep the Sabbath. You got fools saying you can't pay tithes, and you can't make offerings. You shouldn't extend your hand out to the poor. In other words, they're telling you, don't make an intercession and don't stand in the gap. You fall when everybody else falls because we intend on falling. Now, is this the righteous spirit? Is this the testimony Yahweh has put in his book for us to have? Or is it the opposite of what Yahweh has put? Well, this is the opposite of what Yahweh has put. This is not what Yahweh has intended for his people. This is not how Yahweh has said to make intercession for transgressors. By trying to tell people, in order to be right with the Most High, you got to be rebellious with the people. Because if you're not keeping the laws of Yahweh, then whose laws are you keeping? If you're not confirming the testimonies of Yahweh, whose testimonies are you confirming? And if you're not walking in the ways of Yahweh, then who ways are you walking in? How in the world can you say you serve Yahweh and then not be keeping his laws? That's an oxymoron. That's like saying I'm the cleanest person in this world, but I only wash my body once a year. People say, how in the world can you say that? It's an oxymoron. That's how. And the world has got our people not making intercession transgressions because the ways that we have learned from these heathens are altogether backwards. They're altogether ways that are not right. As we spoke about earlier, Yahweh never had in the testimony a man dying for your sins, a man laying down his life for your transgressions. This has never been acceptable in the eyes of the Most High. And you want to know why I say that? You want to know why I can say this with so much confidence? Because it's a testimony in Yahweh's book. Turn with me to the book of Exodus, the 32nd chapter. In the book of Exodus, the 32nd chapter, I'm going to start reading at the 30th verse. And it reads, and it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, you have sinned a great sin, and now will go up unto Yahweh. Peradventure, I shall make an atonement for your sin. And what atonement was Moses intended to make? Did he bring a lamb? Did he bring a sheep? What did he bring unto Yahweh? Well, let's continue reading. It says, and Moses returned unto Yah and said, all this people have sinned a great sin. and have made them deities of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sins, and if not, blot me. Blot me. Not blot him, not blot her, not take away the nation. He said, if you can forgive their sins, blot me, I pray you, out of thy book which you have written. So Moses tried to do what people give him credit for. And Christ didn't even want to do it. He prayed to Yah, supposedly he prayed to the Most High to remove up, crying teardrops the size of blood. He didn't want the commission. And they celebrating this food. But you have a servant that say, look, if you can't forgive these people for their sins, and I know they committed a great sin, made false idols of gold. But please, Yahweh, if you can't forgive their sins, then blot me out of the book. And look at what Yahweh said. Did Yahweh say, I think I will do that? I think I will. No, look at what Yahweh said. It says, and Yahweh said unto Moses, whomsoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out my book. Yahweh already said that Moses was the meekest man in his house. Yahweh already said that he didn't visit Moses like he visited any other man. He come and speak to Moses face to face as a man speaking to his friend, not apparently or in our speech. Even the special relationship that he had with this man, he would not bend his righteousness to him. And he said, no, Moses, get out the way. That's not going to take place. Him that transgressed against me, him will I blot out of my book. Now, people are running around talking like Yahweh done changed. As if Yahweh done altered what he has said out of his mouth. And absolutely not. Not at all. Because Yahweh is the Elohim of righteousness. Yahweh is the Elohim of truth. Yahweh is the Elohim of perfection. And Yahweh is the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Yahweh is the Elohim of Israel. And the same righteousness that Yahweh would take from Moses, he's not going to take in the past, or now, or in the future. The ones that transgress against Yahweh is the ones getting blotted out of his book. That's how you make intercession for transgressors. It's turning people back to Yahweh and not away from Yahweh. Even in war, even in times of travail, this is how you stand up for Yahweh. Turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel. The 17th chapter. Because we go read about one of the patriarchs in Yahweh's book, another wonder. And this is speaking about King David. And there was a lot of questions being asked about King David. And now when you hear most of our people talk about King David, it's in the negative tone. Oh, he was a murderer. Oh, he was an adulterer. Oh, he was this and he was that. They'll call him everything, but they won't say, man, that was one of the most boldest servants of Yahweh that ever stood up in this book that you will ever read about. Kings, princes, warriors didn't stand up like King David did. And this was a man in his youth that stood up for Yahweh. In the book of 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, I'm going to begin reading at the 23rd verse. It reads, and as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistines of God, Goliath, by the name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And David heard them. And the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and was sore afraid. And the man of Israel said, have he sent this man that has come up? Show me to defy Israel if he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the man that stood by him, saying, but what shall be done to this man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the army of the living Elohim? That's what David was concerned about. He said, man, you're talking about all this, about the report, but what's going to be the reward for this man that's defying the army of Yahweh, the army of Israel? The fighting uncircumcised Philistine in the land, defying the land, defying Yahweh's people. And look at what David's prayer said. And we skip on over to the 43rd chapter. I mean, to the 45th verse. So the wicked leave with no man pursuer, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. And you're not going to get more bolder than King David. You don't get a righteous more testimony than King David. Because most of our people, they can't wait to go to war. Can't wait to fight. But they want to fight because they want to glorify and honor themselves. They want to boast themselves. But look at what King David boasted himself in. In the 45th verse, it says, this said David to the Philistines. Man, you can come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to you in the name of Yahweh of hosts, Elohim of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day will Yahweh deliver you into my hand, and I will smite you and take thy head from you, and will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowl of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there's an Elohim in Israel. And all the assembly shall know that Yahweh saved him, not with sword and spear, for the battle was Yahweh's, and he will give you into our hands. So anytime you go in the war, you know the battle don't belong to you. The battle belongs unto Yahweh. And he knew that Yahweh would deliver him into his hands. Why? Because Yahweh fights for us. No wonder the scripture says Yahweh that teaches my hand to fight. Because the only way we defeat your enemies is with Yahweh. The only way your enemies will flee from you is because of Yahweh. And King David knew this. That's why this man had wondered. That's why Yahweh said he had found a man with a heart likened unto his. Because he knew that this man was bold as a lion. But he wasn't going to be bold just to boast himself up. He was going to be bold to praise Yahweh. Because King David was standing in the gap. He wasn't trying to get the spotlight. He said, look, man, this uncircumcised Philistine is defying the armies of Israel. So he's defying Yahweh. And then y'all going to stand up? None of y'all gonna witness me, huh? Well, I'll do it. Because at one point or another, intercession has to be made for transgressors. Someone has to stand in the gap. And Yahweh's looking for a man to do this. And Yahweh said he hasn't found none. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah, the 42nd chapter. In the book of Isaiah, the 42nd chapter, and we're going to read what pleases Yah. Does Yahweh glorify a lot of violence? Is Yahweh pleased with a bunch of men with locks hanging off of their heads, with swords all on? What will Yahweh magnify? Will he magnify the warriorism? Or what will Yahweh magnify? In the book of Isaiah, the 42nd chapter, and the 21st verse. It reads, that Yahweh is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. Well, what better way to stand in the gap and make intercession for transgressors than to magnify the law of Yahweh, make it honorable, not take it away, not minimize it, not say it's not important, not say it has no relevance, because Yahweh is pleased for his righteousness' sake, and he will magnify the law and make it honorable. Now, how do you and I, as a servant of Yahweh, magnify the laws of Yahweh and make it honorable? Well, you do it by just simply that. You do it. When Yahweh says that I am Yahweh Elohim, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, thou shalt have no other Elohim before me. Will someone ask you, is there an Elohim besides Yahweh? No. There's nothing. No one. Zip, zout, zero. Besides Yahweh. You can bring me the New Testament. You can bring me the Quran. You can bring me the book of Egyptology. You can bring me any book you please. There is none besides Yahweh. Yahweh's book is timeless. Yahweh's book gets more beautiful the more you read it. It ages gracefully. These other false books of damnation, they age like bananas. Very fast, gets very ugly, and you just put them away after a certain while. Should have put these books away as soon as they hand them to us. Because all it has is taken us away into darkness, into utter confusion, and it has us not standing in the gap for Yahweh. But this is how you magnify the law of Yah and make it honorable. You just simply do the law. And one of the laws that people are ignoring, one of the laws that people are speaking against, is the very law that Yahweh said to remember. Yahweh said to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yahweh your Elohim. In it thou shalt not do any work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor the stranger that is within your gates. For in 6 days Yahweh made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore Yahweh blessed the Shabbat day, hallowed it. So Yahweh said, look, in 6 days I complete all my work, so I'm giving you 6 days to complete all yours. Do all your pleasures. But the seventh day, that belongs to me. Because I enjoyed that rest. I enjoyed it so much, I blessed it. And I sanctified it. And now you got fools rising up saying, no, you can't keep the Sabbath day. Because it's not in your hand. Well, look at what Yahweh has set apart in Shabbat to do. Every read it every week to start off the Shabbat. To put everybody into the right frame of mind to let us know that without a vision, the people perish. So we've got a vision. We walk through these sanctuary doors. And while we sit in the midst of Yahweh's sanctuary and give praises unto Yahweh and sing unto Yahweh, there's a vision in the book of Isaiah, the 58th chapter. And in the book of Isaiah, the 58th chapter, I'm going to start reading at the 13th verse. And it reads, if thou turn away thy foot from the Shabbat, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day. He can say your holy day. He can say, take your foot and put it right on your presence. He said, no. He can take your foot from doing your presence on my holy day. And you call the Shabbat a delight. The holy of Yahweh, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thy own ways, nor finding thine own pleasures, nor speaking thine own words. It says that then shall you delight yourselves in Yahweh, and I will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Yaakov, your father. For the mouth of Yahweh has spoken it. No wonder most people can't witness to Yahweh. because they're not even delighting in the Sabbath day. And by delighting in the Sabbath day, then you will delight in Yahweh. You ask most Israelites about Yahweh, and all he do is give you a story of gloom, destruction, evil, darkness, curses. Now, how is that going to be an intercessor to transgressors? How you going to stand in the gap? How can someone say, I'm sorry, that Elohim, all he do is curse his people. He haven't given them a way out, none whatsoever. I can't wait to walk through the door of the praise hill. This is outright foolishness. Outright wickedness that's taking place. And this is not a testimony in Yahweh's book where Yahweh will ever say that the Sabbath day has been cut off from Israel. Nowhere in his book. And I defy anyone to show me where Yahweh cut us off from ever keeping Shabbat day. And I gave my number out once, and I'll give it out again. 513-915-9169. If I don't pick up, it's because I'm teaching. Leave a message, and I'll give you all right back. You won't find it. Because Yahweh is looking to see who will stand in the gap. Who's going to make intercession for transgressors? And the bottom line is, not many that will. That's why Yahweh only speaks about a remnant. Because the vast majority will refuse to do it. The vast majority will refuse to hearken to it. Just like the vast majority will always talk about Yahweh. And they'll sing to Yahweh. And they'll act like they rejoice in Yahweh. But then we say, how do we return to Yahweh? They give you a bunch of their ways. They give you a bunch of their thoughts. They give you a bunch of their meditations. But they will not give you the testimonies of Yahweh. And this is one way Yahweh said to return to them. In the book, Malachi, the third chapter. Yes, we're going to keep beating y'all over the head with this. Yes, we're going to keep coming at y'all with this. And yes, you can't do nothing about it. Because this is the word of Yahweh. And you can't show a testimony of Yahweh to combat the words of Yahweh. This is how Yahweh said to return. In the book of Malachi, the third chapter, I'm going to start reading the 10th verse. He says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me thou herewith as God of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And Yahweh said, bring all the tithes into his storehouse. Bring it to his house so he can get the glory, so he can get the honor, so he can get the praise. If you and I go out and we just distribute it to who we guess it, then we're trying to get the glory and praise. Bring it to Yahweh's house. People always want to argue and say, well, the tithes don't go to this person. The tithes don't go to that person. May the tithes go by the priest. Well, then you point out a Levite. Because the Levite got the tithes as well. Now, unless you can show me who the Levites are, and unless you can show me every fatherless, every widow, every stranger, you can show me all these people and bring them to me, guess what I'm going to bring them to? Yahweh's house. Because that's how Yahweh said he's going to get his glory. He's going to get his praise. Now, whatever you think that you're doing, whatever spiritual idiots think that they out here doing and testifying to, I don't know. But it's not to the glory of Yahweh. It's not to the honor of Yahweh. And you show not set it in the gap by telling people not to pay it, to not make an offering to Yahweh, not make an offering unto you. As it was said this past Shabbat day, not one teacher in the house of Israel is on salary, getting paid anything to do this. Matter of fact, it's costing money to come praise Yahweh in the sanctuary. And it's worth every penny. Because the scriptures let you know that you buy the truth and you sell it not. So we didn't get paid nothing. Well, I can't even say we're not getting paid nothing. We're not being compensated by the people. Our compensation comes from Yahweh. And we've been collecting tithes. we've been collecting offerings. And you know how many curses Yahweh has put on the house of Israel? None for doing it. How can you say it's a curse when over 150 people were just saved a couple of weeks ago? And over 77 souls were saved this week. We got to up the ante on the works to do because the abundance of Yahweh is flowing out of his house. So no, you don't see it because you're not putting in no work. You don't see it because all you're doing is offering lip service. You don't see it because all you're doing is staying on social media, posting. But you're not putting in no work for Yahweh. But Yahweh said, bring the tithe to his house. And look at what Yahweh said that he will do. Since people want to say, well, that's just for the land. Well, is it just for the land? Why is this one of the blessings? In verse 11, and he says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast their fruit off before the time in the field, saith Yahweh. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, saith Yahweh of hosts. So this is for a testimony for the whole world to witness to. Not just individuals in Cincinnati. Not just individuals in the overseas. Not just the individuals in South America. All the nations are going to witness that we are Yahweh's people. So when you contribute, you contribute to a movement. A movement that wasn't started by no more right here. None before us and none after us. This is Yahweh's plan. This is what Yahweh has ordained, not us. And this is how you make intercession for transgressors. Turn to the book of Zechariah, the 8th chapter. Because only those that's keeping the law are going to be a light. Only those that's confirming the testimonies of Yahweh are going to be a light. Only those that are witnessing to Yahweh will be a light. And it's going to be such a light that all these things that have robbed us of our spoil, that have robbed us of our story, that have attempted to cut us off, that have been an enemy unto us, Yahweh going to make the light shine so bright. This is what the nations are going to witness to. In the book of Zechariah, the 8th chapter, and the 23rd verse, it reads, thus saith Yahweh of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, and even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is the Yehudahite, and say, we will go with you, for we have heard that Elohim is with you. Because this is how you make intercession for transgressors. This is how you stand in the gap. You keep the laws of Yahweh. You stay the course. It don't matter where you are. Yahweh said, if you're on the outskirts of the earth, I will come and fetch you. Now you think the Moses got covered to fetch a bunch of rebels? So you get on the outskirts and say, well, we're not even on earth. So the law of Yahweh don't apply. No. The laws of Yahweh apply everywhere because Yahweh is the creator of the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that in them is. All that in them is. And this is how you make intercession. But you have process. This is how you stand in the gap. This is another way how you do it. In the book of 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. Now ask all your pastors, ask your preachers, ask your imams, ask your sheikhs, your so-called reverends, your so-called borees, or some of these people that you listen to, ask them What are happening when they're doing these things? In the book of 2 Chronicles, 20th chapter, and the 20th verse. And it reads, and they rose up early in the morning and went forth. And they rose up early in the morning and went forth to the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Yehuda, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in Yahweh your Elohim, so shall you be established, and believe in his prophets, so shall you prosper. Well, believe in Yahweh, you'll be established. Well, how are you believing in Yahweh and you don't believe that Yahweh's people are going to be redeemed from captivity? How do you believe in Yahweh, but you don't believe in putting in no work for Yahweh? How do you believe in Yahweh when you won't even rest in Yahweh? And how do you believe in Yahweh when you haven't provided no meat for Yahweh's house? That's why most of these spiritual idiots are not established. Because they don't believe in Yahweh. And then they sure don't believe in the latter part. Believe in his prophet, so shall you prosper, because they don't even believe in their prophets. They can point out false prophets all day long. And they can tell you what man isn't a prophet. And what man is falsifying falsely in the name of Yah. They can't point out one man that's giving you the truth in the name of Yah. And like the scriptures say, a false balance is an abomination unto Yahweh. If there's false prophets in the earth, then there has to be true prophets in the earth. How do I know there's true prophets in the earth? Because someone has to stand in the gap. Someone has to make intercession for the transgressors. It has to be done. And because our people don't believe or they refuse to see it, they won't witness to it. So therefore, they're not standing in the gap. Turn with me to the book of Ezekiel, the 6th chapter. In the book of Ezekiel, the 6th chapter, I'm going to start reading at the very first verse. And it reads, and the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, son of man, set your face towards the mountains of Israel, and prophesy against them, and say, ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of Yahweh Elohim. Thus saith Yahweh Elohim to the mountains, and to the hills, to the rivers, and to the valleys. Behold, I will bring a sword upon you, and I will destroy your high places. And your altar shall be desolate, and your images shall be broken. And I will cast down your slain man before your idols. And I will lay the dead carcasses of the children of Israel before their idols. And I will scatter your bones round about your altars. And in all your dwelling places, the cities shall be laid waste. And the high places shall be desolate, that your altars may be laid waste and made desolate, and your idols may be broken and ceased. And your images may be cut down, and your works may be abolished. And the slain shall fall in the midst of you, and you shall know that I am Yahweh. Now you see why I have to stand in the gap. Because there's altars of these false idols all over the place. All of our dwelling places. And the slain of Yahweh is going to be many. And Yahweh said he's going to take the carcasses of these slain men and set them before the altars of their idols. Now, how many times are we going to have to stand up here and claim that Yahweh is the only Elohim? Every single day. Every single day. 7 days a week, the word of Yahweh is being done. Even when we on rest day, we stand up here proclaiming that Yahweh is the only one. Because intercession has to be made. This is our mission. This is what Yahweh has ordained us to do. To stand in the gap. To warn the people of the impending danger. Yahweh's sword is on his way. Turn from your idols. Turn from your wickedness. Turn from your transgressions and return unto Yahweh. Be a witness for Yah. And stop standing for the shedding of the blood of your people. Turn to the book of Exodus, Well, turn with me to the book of Psalm 17. In the book of Psalm 17, I'm going to read at the very first verse. And it reads, "Hear the cry, O Yahweh, attend unto my cry, and give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of fine lips, out of fine lips. Let my hands come forth from thy presence, and let thy eyes behold things that are equal. Thou hast proved my heart. You have visited me in the night, and you have tried me, and shall find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from paths of the destroyer. Hold up my goings in thy path, that my foot slip not. I have called upon you, for you will hear me, O Elohim. Incline thy ear unto me, and hear my speech. Show thy marvelous loving kindness. Oh, that I say by the right hand of them which put their trust in you from that that rises up against them." Yeah, proclaim the goodness of Yahweh, the salvation of Yahweh, that Yahweh saves. All we talk about, we in darkness, we just curse, as if all Yahweh going to do is destroy. No, Yahweh going to destroy the wicked. So what you said is you plan on remaining wicked? Because Yahweh's hand of salvation is unto his people. Yahweh's favorite arm is unto his people. And this is what we have to realize. This is why this is of the utmost importance. And the last scripture we're going to go to is in the book of Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter, I'm going to begin reading at the 39th verse. And this is the premise of the whole lesson. This is so we can put everything in its proper perspective. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter, I'm going to begin reading at the 39th verse. And it reads, "See now that I, even I," and this is Yahweh speaking, "I am he. And there is no Elohim with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. And neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. For I lift up my hands to heaven and say, I live forever. And if I wet my glistering sword and my hand take hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to my enemies and I will reward them that hate me. And I will make my arrows drunk with blood, and my sword shall devour flesh, and that with the blood of the slain and of the captives from the beginning of the revenge upon the enemy." Yahweh kills, and Yahweh makes alive. Yahweh kills, and it's Yahweh that destroys. And Yahweh's vengeance is going to destroy his enemy. So anytime someone stands up and tells you what you can't do for the Most High and what you shouldn't do for the Most High, and you can go to the testimonies and to the law, and you can see Yahweh telling you to do this, then all they're doing is standing for the sword to be glistering upon you and be wet with your blood, and Yahweh's arrow to be wet with your blood. But if they witness it to that, then you know that they're not making intercession for the transgressors. They're not standing in the gaps. They're not trying to witness to the true and living Elohim to let you know that his wrath is rapidly approaching. And we're not seeking to be in the midst of his destruction. We're seeking to be hidden from it. We're seeking to be brought to another place where we don't even have to see it. Because the slain of Yahweh will be hidden. And yes, they're going to rise up. And they're going to say, everything I've said is a lie. Or anything that any teacher get up here and say is a lie. And they're going to say that you a lie. Because what they said is, I want you to be right there with me when Yahweh recompense upon me. But I implore you, I beg of you, don't fall for the okie doke. Stand with Yahweh, because Yahweh said, none will be disappointed that wait and put their trust in Him. So let's be righteous. Let's be holy. Let's be strong and courageous and stand in the gap and make intercession for our people that are out transgressing. So until tomorrow, Yahweh loves you, and so do we at the house of Israel. Shalom.